Over the summer season, from this Monday, Memorial Day, to Labor Day, Americans will consume 7 billion hot dogs. And over the course of a year, we will eat about 20 billion hot dogs. So we are devoting this week's Please Explain to a look at the history of the hot dog, its many variations, and what's actually in them. And joining me now are Bruce Craig, Professor Emeritus at Roosevelt University and founding president of the Culinary Historians of Chicago, and Bob Bly, author of All American Frank, A History of the Hot Dog. Welcome to the show.
And thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you.
Bob, there are countless regional variations for hot dogs. What are some of them?
Well, the favorite or the most popular by brand, of course, is the Texas Wiener, and there are really different variations of hot dogs all over the world. Chinese, they eat them on sticks, and every type of town you go to has its favorite hot dog recipe. When I worked when I was 12, which was a long time ago, I worked at the town pool in Bergen County, and we had a secret recipe, and people wondered why our hot dogs tasted so great, and we did a dog that was just crispy on the outside and juicy on the inside. And if I tell you what the recipe is, it may turn your stomach, but you know those meat vats that they do French fries in?
Mm-hmm.
We put hot dogs in the bottom of the basket, and when they floated up to the top because they had absorbed enough grease, they were ready, so we would roll them in a paper towel and put them on a roll, and that was one of the best hot dogs around.
Well, later we'll talk about whether hot dogs are deleterious to your health. Bruce, are American-style hot dogs different from Frankfurters? I'm talking about the Frankfurters from Frankfurt and Wieners from Vienna, or any of the other things that claim to be the original sources?
Yeah, they're very different. The hot dog, as we know it, is really an American product. And
aren't they all just little sausages?
Well, they are, but there are different ways to make them. Making sausages is an art, and if you look at the manufacturers in America today, the big guys, and in many small producers also, many of them have German sausage makers, Wurstmeisters, working for them. Although, again, they're different products. The American product is fairly flavorless. There are two kinds of hot dogs. One are the in the industry are what are called adult hot dogs, and it's the kind you'll find at, say, Papaya King or, Coney Island, the famous Nathan's, and or the Chicago Vienna's and things like that. And then there are the children's hot dogs, and these are the supermarket kind. And those are fairly flavorless, bland, mostly pork with a lot of chicken in them. The adult hot dogs often are all beef, as we're used to in New York and Chicago, and a number of other cities. So Frankfurter, the original Frankfurter, if there is such a thing, and there's an argument about it, is pork and veal often. The Wiener has some beef in it, and pork and probably veal. And these, in America, that's completely reversed. The Wiener is associated with Oscar Mayer, is mostly all pork and chicken, and the Frankfurter has become an all-beef thing. So they're really quite different.
Although many people use the terms interchangeably, hot dog, Frank, Wiener. You're from Chicago. Mm-hmm. Some people swear by the Chicago-style hot dog. How are they different?
Well, they're prepared differently. As Bob Bly just said, you would not find a deep-fried Frank, or Rippers, I think they're called in New Jersey, in Chicago. That's anathema. They're mostly hot water bathed, made often not with natural casings, although some are, the best ones are. And in New York, they're flat griddled, as in Nathan's original. So they're made quite differently. Of course, what's on it in the Chicago is quite different. It's loaded up with stuff. And the New York ones, many of the East Coast ones, are fairly plain.
Yeah, we just do sauerkraut and mustard usually, or maybe a little bit of relish. Bob, why hot dog? And why a dog? Is this because of there was once a thing that was called a dachshund in Germany?
Yeah, because it was at one of the ballparks where the vendors would, because it looked like a dachshund, would say, they called them hot dachshunds, and they say, get your hot dachshunds, and then they would say, get your hot dogs. And a cartoonist, I think his name was T.J. Grogan, if I recall, picked that up, and he drew a cartoon for the sports page, a satire of some dog on a bun, and the name Hot Dog stuck, and that's where they got it.
So hot dogs really go back to baseball, or do they go back to Coney Island?
Well, as you said, they're just a type of sausage, so you can say that they really went back to ancient Greece, mm-hmm. because that's the civilization that first started eating meat in a tube, and basically a hot dog or any sausage is just a meat in a tube. In fact, on the old, I don't know if you remember James Garner's old show, The Rockford Files in the 70s, that was mainly his meal of choice because he couldn't afford steak, which was perceived as better, something I disagree with, and he would tell his guests that we're having tube steaks, as he called them.
And so the real difference, I mean, other than adult and children's hot dogs, is what you put on them in different parts of the country, or are they spiced differently?
The main differences are just three ways they're different. One is the method of cooking or preparation. Like you mentioned, New York hot dogs. Some people love the hot dog vendors, which use dirty water hot dogs. I mean, they're supposed to be sanitary, but they're in steamed in hot water.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Rippers because I'm from New Jersey. Although grilled hot dogs, if you split them, is you know, also gives a different taste. So one is the way they're prepared. Two is the contents. As was just mentioned, beef is different than veal, is different than pork, and chicken are horrendous, but some people eat them as diet hot dogs. There is the toppings, which makes a huge difference, and most of the hot dog places, that's the big variety next to their preparation method they deal in, the toppings. And the other, so it's toppings, it's preparation, and it's the contents of the dog itself.
But even when beef is used, there are variations. Bruce, in New York, a lot of people will swear by Katz's hot dog, which is kosher-style hot dog. Are most beef hot dogs kosher-style?
Well, there is no such thing as kosher-style.
I mean, they're not held to a higher
standard?
No, it's
either
standard.
Kosher or not kosher. Or whatever. It's either kosher or isn't. There is no style. It depends on how the meat is prepared, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's kosher or not. And so what we like to call kosher style, it's just a name which has come up for kind of hot dog invented in the big cities of the United States, New York and Chicago, which are all beef. There is a difference in the flavor profile of the sausage itself. Chicago is a little more spicy because it has paprika and things in it, and then New York is more garlicky. So, and they compare, they're quite different from the supermarket hot dogs, which have some spices in them, of course, but they're so bland that they're virtually tasteless.
My guests are Bob Bly, author of All American Frank, A History of the Hot Dog, and Bruce Craig, professor emeritus at Roosevelt University and founding president of the Culinary Historians of Chicago. We're talking about hot dogs on today's Please Explain, and you can go to our show page where we are asking listeners to weigh in on what they think are the best hot dogs in New York and the mildest hot dog or the wildest one they've ever eaten. Later, we'll be taking your calls at 212-433-9692. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Bob, are most people right when they assume that most hot dogs are filled with the meat that's left over after the higher quality cuts have been used for other things? The eyes and the hoofs?
That's a concern, and health. You know, the health and purity vary, which is why a lot of people do prefer, me included, kosher hot dogs, because to be blessed by a rabbi and actually certified kosher, food is held to a somewhat higher standard. And there's a belief that those are purer, and I do think they taste better.
But they don't have natural casings because you can't have a casing on a kosher hot dog?
Yes, you can.
Go ahead.
Sure. Sure.
You can?
It depends on what the casing is.
Aren't most of them skinless, or is that a result of something else that's happened over the years?
No, that's just a production method, a way of making them faster and cheaper. Natural casing dog is more expensive because it's actually a gut. And if it's sheep, then that's fine, unless you're super orthodox and don't want to mix meats, right? Beef and sheep. But
But casings itself, as you pointed out, are okay. The Jewish cuisine has a dish called stuffed derma,
mm-hmm.
which is some kind of meat in a casing. So casings themselves are not prohibited.
Exactly, and the the kosher ones or Jewish made ones, which may not be kosher, have lamb casings.
But most kosher hot dogs are usually either skinless or made with artificial collagen casings.
Yeah, that's right. And that was invented actually in the 1920s and 30s.
What you lose there is the snap.
Well, it depends. Some of the dogs have such high protein content that if you hot water bathe them, like the ones in Chicago, the protein rises to the surface and does give it a kind of snap, which sort of replicates the natural casing. Natural casings are you know, the gourmet hot dog. That's the best. The kind of beef, by the way, used in them is different also. The really good hot dogs have bull beef because it has more fiber in it, and preferably northern raised because the fiber is even greater because of the climate. And the cheaper ones are southern, and those that beef has more water in it and is hence less texture and less flavorful. So, again, there's an art in making these.
Aren't most of the hot dogs in New York made by one company, Sabret?
No, Boar's Head, and there are a number of smaller ones also. Sabret, of course, is the big one.
In New York?
Yeah, absolutely. And since that's a company founded in the 1930s, and with a wonderful marketing scheme, namely giving away umbrellas to stand owners.
Right.
So, now, Bob.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, yes, Sabret is the big brand in New York because it's on the street vendors who control a lot of the trade. But, you know, there are Oscar Mayer's, there are Thumann's, Shofar Kosher, Zion, Vienna Beef. Right. There's quite a number of other brands available in the tri-state area.
Are they all either cooked, cured, or smoked? Are there because other sausages come to us uncooked, don't they?
Yes, they're all cooked. It's one of the USDA definitions of a hot dog. It's a pre-cooked meat.
Is that why nitrites are used?
You could eat it without grilling it. In fact, there's a story that Walt Disney, his favorite food was uncooked hot dogs, and the woman who was his maid for 40 or 45 years used to constantly make him happy by tossing him uncooked hot dogs from the refrigerator, which was his favorite snack. And in return for this, he would gift her with little bits of Disney stock. Now, she didn't know much about the stock market, but she knew that her boss was a smart guy. I read an obituary of her eight or nine years ago, and when she died, she had an estate of $9 million from the gifts of stock she got by feeding Walt Disney uncooked, unheated hot dogs.
Just tossing them to him the way he might have tossed them to Pluto.
Yep.
But is that why nitrites are used in most hot dogs? Because they need something to help preserve them after they're
right.
cooked?
That's exactly right, and that's by law, actually.
But isn't there a negative health factor
there?
Research has showed that hot dogs and other cured meats can cause lung disease.
Well, yeah, if you eat about a million of them. That was a thought beginning around 30 years ago. But
you mean those guys who are in the Coney Island in the contests, they're taking a real chance?
No, not really.
Well, if you eat a million, you win the contest, don't you?
Well, you do, but it's been proved recently that nitrates and nitrites are not going to cause cancer unless you eat, again, about a million of them. So.
But they're also high in sodium, fat,
sure,
as well as yeah. nitrites.
Well, the hot dog itself generally, again, by law, is about 30% fat. But it's not fat that raises your cholesterol. It's actually the carbohydrates.
It's not the healthiest food, but I mean, it's not the most fattening food on the world either. You know, they're not that big, and the average hot dog has something like 250, 300 calories. I mean, you make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you got 300 or 400 calories.
Exactly right. Yeah. It's the bun that's worse than the sausage itself.
Yeah, and they used to originally, when they started, they did not make them on buns. When they started vending them early in New York City on Coney Island, they used to actually hand out little pairs. I think they were disposable little gloves, and you would hold it in your hand.
Mm.
Then one day, the guy who was vending it might have been Nathan's, I'm not sure, he ran out of gloves, and he went to another business on the boardwalk. He's a baker. He says, I need some, I'm out of gloves. Can you make rolls? And the guy was smart enough. He said, I'll make a roll the shape of the meat. And that's how the hot dog bun was invented, but it didn't start out that way.
Well, the history, at least the mythology of the hot dog, has it that Charles Feltman, a German immigrant,
yes.
sold hot dogs on West 10th Street and then on Surf Avenue in Coney Island. He's kind of the inventor of the hot dog that we know. But we don't eat at Charles. We eat at Nathan's. What happened?
Well, Nathan was a genius businessman. Like, one of the things you mentioned very astutely, that there was a concern about the contents and the quality of the meat used in it. And people were concerned about that. So he said, how am I going to convince the crowd on the boardwalk to eat this? So what Nathan's did, he hired young, good-looking, clean-cut, healthy, vibrant college men to stand around, and he gave them each white lab coats like they were doctors, and he actually gave each of them a stethoscope to drape around their neck, and they would stand near his stand eating hot dogs, and they weren't doctors, but people would see them and say, well, if doctors eat them, they must be healthy. So Nathan was, in addition to having a very good hot dog, was a marketing genius.
What about the Chicago World's Fair? Why was that important in hot dog history?
Well, because several major manufacturers appeared there. It's important in American cultural history because roughly half the population of the United States came to Chicago in a nine-month period to see it. And there were a good number of food items there. It's where things like Aunt Jemima pancakes were first displayed, and Wrigley's gums and things like this. And there were a number of sausage manufacturers there, including Oscar Mayer, who had a butcher shop in Chicago. That's how they started, just 10 years before. This is in 1893. And the ancestor of Vienna beef and a bunch of others. So people were eating these sausages while walking down the Midway. Sausages were already hugely popular because Chicago, like a number of Midwestern cities, was heavily German. And that's really where hot dogs come from German immigrants. And so they were drinking beer and sitting in beer gardens and eating sausages. And hot dogs are, or the ancestor of hot dogs are part of that.
We have to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll be taking listener calls. Our number here is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC, or you can also reach us on our comment line at WNYC.org. My guests are Bruce Craig, Professor Emeritus at Roosevelt University and the founding president of the Culinary Historians of Chicago, and Bob Lai, author of All American Frank, A History of the Hot Dog. And we're back with our guest, Bob Lai, author of All American Frank, A History of the Hot Dog, and Bruce Craig, who is the founding president of the Culinary Historians of Chicago. We're talking about hot dogs on today's Please Explain, and taking your calls at 212-433-9692. A listener wrote in, what can you explain the corn dog? Is the corn dog a variant on the hot dog?
Yeah, it's just dipped in a batter and deep fried, and it's a lot of people, including me, like them. That's it.
And chili dogs, they're just hot dogs?
They're hot dogs with chili, but that's the thing. If you go to look around the country, and I did a survey once to ask people who has the best hot dog, and of course there was a billion different answers, but the biggest variant seems to be the toppings. A lot of these hot dog places, like my office is in Dumont, New Jersey, and we have here Jolly Nick's, and he's got them by all color codes. So his red is a mixture of this sweet barbecue sauce and onions. He's also got a chili dog, which I forget what he calls, gray or brown, and it's just the topping. And yeah, a chili dog is just a hot dog with chili. There's a place in Clifton, its name escapes me for the moment, though I'm sure I'll think of it, where their claim to fame is that they're open all the time, and they've never empty the chili pot. They just add more ingredients, so the chili is like the world's best chili because it's been cooking in the pot nonstop for like 7 years.
I think one of our callers wants to talk about that place. David from Palisades, New Jersey. Hi.
Yeah, he'd know it.
Hi, how are you? I wondered if you guys knew Rutt's Hut.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
And that's just in the 50s. I mean, that was the place where everyone hung out on Friday nights. And they had, we never called them rippers, but they were deep fat fried. We knew they were bad for us, and they were. I think there's no question they're the best hot dogs that have ever been made.
Yeah, rippers are great, and Rutt's Hut is sort of one of probably one of the premier hot dog places on the East Coast. For just like on the West Coast, Pink's.
Thank you.
Are there other places like that around?
There's tons of them. And again, I'll give a plug to my favorite because they're around the corner from me, Jolly Nick's in Dumont, New Jersey. You know, get a green, get a red. They're terrific.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for calling us. Well, you know, everyone swears by their version. There are people who would consider anything other than mustard and sauerkraut to be a desecration.
Yeah, that lots of hot dog purists consider especially ketchup to be a desecration.
Me too.
That only kids would do. And when I was a kid, anybody, if you ate a hot dog with ketchup, it was called the Laddie Boy, implying that you were basically eating dog food. But the purists like mustard and sauerkraut. But there are tons of other toppings, chili, onions, relish, the list goes on and on.
People put mayonnaise on them.
Well, that's also
that is disgusting.
Well, that's common in Europe. You'll find mayonnaise on almost everything. If you go to the Netherlands, for example.
Now Europeans are making hot dogs, aren't they?
Oh yeah, there are hot dog stands everywhere.
So yes, the American hot dog caught on.
Yes, and they have different names. You know, Chien Chaud in France and Perritos Caliente in Mexico and Spain, sort of, but they're found everywhere. American culture, you know, like hamburgers, have spread all over the place. And
although hamburgers in Europe are usually not as good as American hamburgers, but hot dogs, I have to tell you, the best hot dog I ever had was in France. It was just fabulous. So,
because the French have a food culture, so they know what it is.
And the Dutch make pretty good ones too. And good French fries, although they call it something else.
Pommes frites.
Jordan from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Leonard. How you doing?
Okay.
Enjoying the show and getting very, very hungry.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, you know, the best variant of the kosher hot dog I've ever had was at a deli that doesn't exist anymore called Shmulka Bernstein's on Essex Street. It's right around the corner from Katz's. But I want to tell you the one variant we had there was that we used to put coleslaw on it, not sauerkraut.
Well, yep. Coleslaw would work, wouldn't it?
Sure.
It gives you that same crunch.
Yeah, and that actually is common in the Midwest around Kansas City. It's part of the Kansas City. It's
Of course, in Kansas City, don't they make chili with spaghetti or something like that?
No, that's Cincinnati.
Oh.
It's awful stuff. But it's one of the Kansas City variations. The reason is it's a Midwestern way to food preparation, coleslaw. Everybody made it at home, and it's found in lots of recipes. So it's not surprising to find it on a hot dog.
Thank you so much for your call. Harriet from Brooklyn, hi, you're on the air.
Hello. The best hot dogs that I ever ate are the ones that I eat every week in my challenge. I make a big pot of beans with meat and chili powder and fried onions and lots of spices. I cook that overnight on a low flame, and it's starting before sundown, and it stays on till we're ready for lunch. We eat them with challah and mustard, and we have the beans on the side, and there's some meat and sometimes mashed potatoes, and all together, it's absolutely scrumptious.
Oh, I'm dying to get invited. If I lived in your house, I would weigh 872.
What kind of hot dogs do you use?
For Shabbos.
Well, what kind of hot dogs do you use?
International Franks. I think they're made by Meal Mart. Mm.
Well, thank you so much for calling us.
Okay, sure.
A listener wants to know why the hot dogs in Maine are bright red.
Because
do you know about that?
They have food coloring in them.
Is that it?
It's supposed to be red hot.
The bozo hot dogs, they call them.
Yeah, that's true. And this is true in the South also. And it used to be ubiquitous. Before the 1960s, that you put red dye in them, before red dye number 2 was outlawed as carcinogenic. But, you know, if it's red, again, it's a kind of literal mindedness about a hot dog. Red hot's supposed to be red hot.
How far back do hot dogs and baseball go?
The actual first cartoon of hot dogs, named hot dogs, being served at a sporting event dates in 1906, and that's a 6-day bicycle race. And the cartoonist is a guy named Dorgan, T.A. Dorgan, who's quite famous. But baseball, sausages were served at baseball as far as games probably in the 1890s. There's not really strong evidence of it, but it seems likely. One of the places being St. Louis at Sportsman's Park.
Well, you have beer there as well.
Exactly, because they're Germans, right? And it was a fellow named Chris van der A, who owned the what later became the St. Louis Browns.
But they also make sense because they are hand food.
Yeah, and so you can pass them around. I know they were doing that in the early 1900s at the New York Polo Grounds. They were serving them.
Harry Stevens story. That made it pervasive. But later on, he said in an article back in the 1920s that his hot dogs weren't actually served at the Polo Grounds. Originally, they were at the six-day bicycle races at Madison Square Garden. But it certainly goes back to the 1890s. Again, as you say, because it's hand food, it's easy. It's the first portion-controlled food. You know, you can just pop it in a box, heat it up.
And now they can charge $8 for a hot dog at a ballpark.
Oh, well, prices are outrageous at that ballpark.
Yeah, I always try to hold the line, but it's becoming impossible. And just look at what's happening at the gas pump. Gary from Woodmere, New York. Hi.
It's Woodmere, New York. You have the best show. I am just enjoying this so much. Thank you. I have a friend that's Polish, and she serves the best kielbasa. Could you tell me what the influence is? Was it the German influence on the Polish kielbasa, or was there any influence from the kielbasa on the American hot dog?
Well, I can answer that. The big Polish immigration to the United States was after 1900, and there they have a fresh sausage tradition. So kielbasa just means sausage, and it could be any kind, right? So it could be smoked or it could be fresh. Usually it's fresh.
Don't most Eastern European cultures have some version of a sausage?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's inherent in all East European, from Central Europe to East Europe, there are these sausage traditions. But this one is a fresh sausage, and it doesn't have much influence on the origins of hot dogs. Those are industrially produced, fine emulsion products. But later on they do, as sausage culture proliferates in hot dog stands, and you get things like in Chicago, Maxwell Street Polish, invented in the late 1930s, which is a Polish sausage, a kielbasa, you know, served in Chicago hot dog style. And the same in the East Coast, and Italian sausage served the same way from the 1920s in Philadelphia and New York and other places. So that's the real... The kielbasa in and of itself doesn't influence the original hot dog, but later on becomes a part of the hot dog culture.
Yeah, separately from that, here on the East Coast, we have the Polish hot dog, which is not a kielbasa. It's an actual hot dog, and the topping is roasted or grilled potatoes and onions piled high, like you'd have to eat it with a fork.
Oh, that's interesting. That one, what I haven't seen. My God.
Well, but you've said earlier that the big difference is that the hot dog is already cooked or cured. A kielbasa is fresh meat.
Yeah, generally, yeah.
My guests are Bob Bly, author of All American Frank, A History of the Hot Dog, and Bruce Craig, professor emeritus at Roosevelt University, founding president of Culinary Historians of Chicago. We are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. We're talking hot dogs. Josh from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Great show. I'm from New York originally, and now I live in Chicago. And my comment was just that when I grew up and would always buy hot dogs from the vendors, they were pretty good. But when I came to Chicago and started ordering what they just call Polish, you know, and they serve it with fries, and it's just on another level, I feel. I feel it's just great. And they serve it with a pickle and relish on it. They, you know, you kind of don't even specify. They just serve it to you. That's the way they do it. And there's a million of these, you know, kind of corner places. And, you know, I just figured I'd share that as a New Yorker.
So it made moving to Chicago, relocating to Chicago, even better.
Say again?
Yes.
Because you had these great hot dogs. That, the Art Institute, some of those wonderful buildings, hot dogs. What more can you ask?
Exactly right.
Thank you so much for your call. Adel from Oyster Bay.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a part clarification question and then a more of a cultural question about where it came from. First of all, I think I may have misunderstood, and I know the guest nutrition isn't the the main area for the guests. But did someone say that the cholesterol was in the bun and not in the meat?
No. The hot dog has fat, but what raises it, if you read Gary Taubes' book and articles in the New York Times, and I hope you do, he's been going on with good scientific basis that what raises your cholesterol levels is not necessarily eating fat itself, but eating unrefined carbohydrates.
So you get it in the roll, is what
he said. I've never heard that. So I thought that protein foods were virtually the only food that had cholesterol.
No, have a look at Taubes. These are excellent articles. He has a new book on the subject. It's really good.
What about people who are vegetarians? Are there veggie dogs?
Yes, and they're uniformly awful. Don't you think?
Veggie, any kind of non-hot dog, hot dog, veggie, turkey, chicken, they're all horrible.
Yep.
Now, why would that be? Because vegetables can be rather great. It's just because they don't lend themselves to hot dogs?
Vegetables can be great, but if I want to order a steak, I don't want to get asparagus pressed into steak shape. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, they're tasteless, actually, and they just taste awful, and the texture is not there. They've never been able to replicate the right texture.
Now, we're getting lots of calls from people who are claiming that the best hot dogs in the metropolitan area are from New Jersey. We already talked about one. Somebody else says Hiram's in Fort Lee. Another person says Cone's, Famous Knish's on Hawthorne Avenue in Newark. Is there something about New Jersey, Bob?
We got a lot of great hot dog places, and all of the ones you named, especially Cone's, are very good hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the early one was the Rut Hut, and that sort of set the standard. I don't know why, but we got great hot dogs.
And then others, somebody else said Windmill and Max's in Long Branch. In fact, any hot dogs down on the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, they just had an article on that place in the Record a few months ago, and they're also very well known.
Mm-hmm. And there are other variations. There's an Italian hot dog in Trenton. And in that area, which is quite famous. So New Jersey's just become this big hot dog center.
Well, let's go to Staten Island, which is somewhere between the rest of New York and New Jersey. Hi, Jacob.
Hello, how are you?
You sell hot dogs and other sausages?
Yes, I'm a deli owner in Staten Island, and I run a Polish deli. And I just wanted to ask the speakers regarding the Polish hot dogs or the Polish sausage, the kielbasa. Now, most of the stuff we sell is actually cured and smoked.
Right.
And we only sell a very small portion of really fresh kielbasa. Part of the reason for that being is that the FDA has really a lot of rules on that. But our most popular sellers are all cured and smoked, and that's really what people come for when they come to Staten Island or they come to our deli. They're looking for, when they think kielbasa, they really think of the smoked version.
Wondering where
the connection is with the fresh kielbasa.
Right. What you're saying is right, because if you have a stand, it's very difficult to have fresh sausages, unless you are specialized, like say the bratwurst in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, which is always fresh, almost always fresh. But if you're going to have that kind of stand, the health rules are such that it should be pre-cooked and smoked, just as you've said. And in Chicago, there's a famous style called, as I said, Maxwell Street Polish, which is just the kind you're talking about, the kind you serve in your deli. And those are already pre-made, and they're very popular.
Thank you so much for calling. We are going to sneak in one more call. David from New Jersey, Hackettstown. Hi, David.
Well, good afternoon. I was listening to your discussion about the various local and regional ways hot dogs were served. And years ago, when I lived in Columbus, Georgia, there was a pharmacy with a lunch counter, and they were well known in town for serving what they called a scrambled dog.
Yes, those are awful. I've eaten them.
Yeah, well, what they did is they would take the hot dog, dice it up, dice up the roll, mix it with chili, and serve it in a cup so you ate it with a spoon.
Yeah, I forgot the name of that pharmacy. It's quite famous, and they have a couple of branches in Georgia.
Right.
But there's another way to serve a scrambled dog, and that is you just take a really bad hot dog, because most of them, you just lay it on a bun and put some mustard on, and then maybe sauerkraut, or it could be coleslaw, and you cover it with oyster crackers.
And that's it. Well, the message I've gotten from this is that most of the national brands are awful, but that's a whole other matter.
Yeah.
So we should try to buy the better stuff or the kosher hot dogs. My great thanks to both of you, Bob Bly, author of All American Frank, A History of the Hot Dog, and Bruce Craig, professor emeritus at Roosevelt University and founding president of the Culinary Historians of Chicago. And I got to go to Chicago and get one of those hot dogs.
Well, let me know when you come to town.
Okay. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Our pleasure.